Amen. Let's go to our Father in prayer. God, we thank you so much for this morning that we could take time out of our schedule to praise you, to honor you, to glorify you, and Father, to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Thank you for this holiday season. Thank you for allowing us to live another day. And we pray that as we look into your word for the next few minutes, that you would speak to us, lead us, help us, direct us, inspire us, and remind us of who you are. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to say happy holidays. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Hopefully it was not too filled with too much drama. You were able to have a sane family time. We were able to open gifts and play games and eat and watch TV and nap. That was a good day. That was a good day. It's also great when we can have brothers and sisters, children come back to visit us, and there are a number of you that are in the audience now that have come back that were here and raised here. And so if you could you just stand up? I don't want you to say anything, but if you could just stand on up and we can recognize you. Oh, there we go. All right. Awesome. Look, I didn't want to miss anybody, you know, but it's so good to see everybody, and welcome back home. And you're welcome to stay if you like. Keon Martin went away to serve in our armed forces, and he wanted just to share a couple things and thank the body for all that you've done. So if you can stand up right there and grab that mic right here. Yeah.
All right, I'd like to start off and say I thank all of y'all, the love of this church. It helped push me through my career in the military. And I thank mostly my parents. They helped support me the most throughout it, you know. It's not an easy job to do, but the love of them, you know, sending me letters and everything. Getting letters in the military is like getting presents when you're a little kid. And you're like, oh, snap, I got a letter. Or like, I got you. It just helped boost you, like, to keep pushing through, like, in hard times and things like that. And without them, I wouldn't be able to be here right now. Mm. And I thank you so much. I thank them and all of y'all so much. The love of this church is like no other. Like, I go to church and all that and other areas. Like, you meet people from all over the world. And this church, like I said, my home church, I grew up here. It's like no other. And I love all of y'all. My next step pretty much is, I leave Thursday to go back to do airborne school. You know, when you jump out the plane and the parachute and all that, and that's my next move. And I thank y'all again for the love of this church.
Amen. All right. Kim, my father-in-law jumped out of airplanes, and he always kind of references, he goes, have you ever jumped out of an airplane? And my response to him is, why would I jump out of a perfectly good airplane? I don't have wings, but thank you for your service. Thank you. Also, we just had a wonderful gift. Juan Carlos was baptized on Monday, and that was awesome. JC sent on up. There's JC right there. Awesome. And let me tell you something. How do I know that this young man, this teenager, is filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I know that because he's repented, he's confessed Jesus is Lord, and he was baptized. I also know this because he told me yesterday as we were watching the football game, he said, AB, can I help with cleaning up the decorations? I said, the Holy Spirit's in that boy. Because no teenager asks. Boy, it's filled. I said, sure, you can help us with our decorations. And so older folk, you older brothers out there, let's look to the child. Also wanted to announce that we are beginning life groups again in the middle of January, and we are in the process of reestablishing and relaunching our life groups. We did probably about a 10.5 month follow me series in life groups, and we designed them and organized them. And we were asking for those who desire to facilitate them again to let us know. And that we've been going through that process. We said, hey, give us a year and let's lead. And so they've done that for 2019. We're asking them to decide if they want to do that again in 2020, and they are making that decision. Now, you will have a choice of what life group you'd like to be in, or if you want to be in one at all. You can stay in your current one, or you can choose to go to another one. And so we're going to post on Realm by January 1st all of the locations and names of those who are facilitating life groups, when they meet, what day they meet, etc. So be ready on January 1st to make your decision, because we're going to be launching them in the middle of January. And life groups are so important, and we've talked about over and over again why life groups are important, because they really help us to follow Jesus. And we believe in that, and we want them to be safe. We want them to be spiritual. We want God to move in them. And so just want to let you know, please make that choice and sign on up for these life groups. The theme for 2020 is Christ-like. Christ-like. 2020 theme, Christ-like. If I had one theme for the rest of my life, it would be this one. Our foundation statement is all about being like Christ. We desire to follow him. Why? Because when you follow him, you see what he is like. We desire to be transformed by him, because through that relationship, we can become more like Jesus. And we desire to join him in his mission. Why? Because that's what he was like. He had a mission on this earth to seek and to save those that are lost. If we are to be following Jesus, to be transformed into his image, guess what we will be doing? The same thing. Christ-like. Christ-like. The question that I would love for you to ask yourself over and over again in 2020 is this. Is my life Christ-like? Is my life Christ-like? Is my marriage Christ-like? Is my parenting Christ-like? Are my conversations Christ-like? Are my jokes Christ-like? Some of y'all laughing at that one. Is my attitude Christ-like? Is my behavior Christ-like? 2020, it's our theme. Why are y'all so quiet? Are you being quiet like Christ? Christ-like, that's the theme. Christ-like. Is my dating Christ-like? Are my responses to trials Christ-like? Are my priorities Christ-like? I also want you to think about this question. Now, this particular question pertains to our background and reputation as being a group who knows their Bibles well. 1985, I was 18 years old, I became a Christian. And one thing about our fellowship of churches is that we knew the Bible. I was amazed at 18 years old coming to this church. And the minister's preaching, and I see all these 18, 20, 19-year-olds having a Bible, number one, and knowing where to open their Bible, number two. And it wasn't just on Sundays. I saw that these teenagers read their Bibles every day. And that intrigued me. And they knew what it said and why it said it. And they were so studious and so faithful to the scriptures that if they didn't know something, that I asked 1,000 questions. Partly because I was curious. The other part is because I wanted to get out of my commitment to God. I was counting the cost. And they said, you know what, AB, I don't know about that, but I'll sure ask somebody. Somebody who was older and maybe knew more of the scriptures. That was the climate in which I became a Christian. People knew and read their Bibles and would spend an hour and a half reading the Bible. They would even take notes. I said, man, these people are serious about the scriptures. That was our culture. That was our way. Now, the question I have is, does becoming more biblical or having more Bible knowledge, does that lead one to becoming like Christ? Does that lead one to being more Christ-like? Now, surely, what it takes to be Christ-like are a lot of things. It takes God's power. It takes the Bible. It takes other people in your life. It takes a repentance on your part. It takes a lot of things. But when we ask this question, does becoming more biblical or having more Bible knowledge lead to us becoming more Christ-like? Well, yes, and maybe no. I've known people who know more about the Bible than they know about themselves, and yet were no more Christ-like. Knowledge doesn't lead to you becoming Christ-like. Have you ever heard someone say these words, you need to be biblical, you need to be Bible-based? Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Well, they're talking about relating or contained, something relating to or contained in the Bible that they refer to. It's a good question. And is it a good question to ask ourselves? I think so. Because we can know more about the Bible than we do about Jesus. If we're not careful, we can know more about the Bible than we do about Jesus. Now, the term Bible-based or biblical can be a convenient way of claiming something is right or doctrinally sound according to Christian standards. It can mean anything to anybody if they take it in their own context. It is commonly used to reinforce a viewpoint or agenda. You can use the Bible to reinforce an agenda or a particular point of view. You know, many of Christianity's largest conflicts and divisions are fueled by differing versions and interpretations of the scriptures. You realize that? The Bible can be used for harm as well as for good. Nazism, Ku Klux Klan, slavery, the Pharisees used scripture to challenge what Jesus was doing. They were challenging the word by the word. And of course, Satan himself used the scriptures to try to deceive the word, Jesus. So you think we're above that? No. Do you think we can fall into using the scriptures for our own benefit and miss Jesus? I know I can. Rachel Held Evans, quote from her book, A Year of Biblical Womanhood, says this: If you are looking for verses with which to support slavery, you will find them. If you are looking for verses with which to abolish slavery, you will find them. If you are looking for verses with which to suppress women, you will find them. If you are looking for verses with which to liberate or honor women, you will find them. If you are looking for reasons to wage war, guess what? You will find them. If you are looking for reasons to promote peace, you will find them. If you are looking for an outdated, irrelevant, ancient text, you will find it. If you are looking for truth, she says, believe me, you will find it. You will find it. In our history of churches, we have looked for verses that led us to have no music in the church, only sing a cappella. We've looked for verses that have led to no kitchens in our church building, or passing only one cup for communion, or not allowing women to share in service. I can go on and on. I believe a solution to this is to replace biblical or Bible-based thoughts with Christ-like ones. While the biblical term can be manipulated to say and mean almost anything, the words, the actions, and the life of Jesus aren't as pliable. Amen. It's harder to bend or adjust the life of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes, again, we can miss the Messiah and catch the message. But I believe we need to have a combination of the message and the Messiah. What do you think? Amen. That truly does lead to growth. Our litmus test in the 1200 should always be, in this text, is this text leading us to becoming more like Christ? Is this text, is this story, is this parable lead us to being more like Christ? It's so easy to idolize the Bible and ignore or miss the very message of Christ. Oh, we need to hold God's word and to complete, you know, authority and fear it and love it and embrace it. But if it doesn't lead us to becoming more like Christ, we need to consider some things. I'm saying the purpose of the Bible should always be to help us know and to love God and become more what? Christ-like. Everything we say and do should be filtered through the question of, is this the most Christ-like? Am I becoming more Christ-like? Colossians chapter 3, please turn there with me. Paul says, let the logos, the message, the word of the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul says, let the expressions, the thoughts, the conclusions and sayings of the word dwell, settle, be at home among you. Let the message dwell among you. Well, why did Paul write this letter? What was the problem? What was the challenge? You know, Keon said the letters that were written to encourage him while he was off in the military. The Bible's letters are written to people that needed encouragement and guidance and direction, and when they were getting off base. So what was happening in Colossae? It was a challenge for them who previously followed different religions and philosophies to continue to separate themselves from the spiritual currents of the world. And they needed help. Most of those in Colossae were Gentile converts, and they were dealing with syncretism, which is a mix of different religions and philosophies. You had the Jews, you had the Gentiles coming together, and as a result, they created a hybrid type of religion. And they no longer resembled true Christianity, and Paul wanted to remind them, to encourage them, to let the message of the Messiah dwell in them. They were also dealing with Gnosticism, which was a challenge, taught that humans could transcend evil and the corruption through asceticism, which is self-discipline and all avoidance of all forms of indulgences. And they thought that they got trapped in that. And there was a lot for Paul to address. He was dealing with a lot. And do you think that today we don't deal with a lot of currents of philosophies and logic and religion that goes on, that we can read on our phones or get on the internet, and those messages can lead us away from Jesus? What was the solution? The letter challenged them to look solely at the divinity of Jesus. He brought Jesus, he lifted him up, he presented Jesus as God, the creator of the universe. He emphasized the importance of the cross. He reminds them that only through the blood of Jesus are they saved, nothing else. He held up Jesus. Oh, he shared the word, but he led them to the word so that they could be led to the word, the Messiah. So does your Bible reading lead you to Jesus? Does it lead you to becoming more Christ-like? What can we learn from this letter? We can improve on Christianity by adding our philosophies or our hopes and ideas, no matter how well-intentioned they are. There's no need to look anywhere else for salvation. Jesus is the answer. So the expressions of thought and conclusions and the words must have the Messiah as its base foundation. Then, when the Messiah is our direction and our hope is in him and this is where we're going, then we can teach. Then we can admonish one another. Then we can sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts. And so that's the base. Then we can direct, we can teach, we can instruct, we can give out information if that is the base, to be more like Christ, to lead us to Jesus. Then we can admonish, warn, reason with someone, appeal to the mind, and exert positive pressure. Positive pressure. Last night, or yesterday, we saw there are many more games, but we saw some great games. And those coaches were admonishing those players, weren't they? They had a goal in mind. And sometimes if we don't have becoming more like Jesus in mind, we get offended. We get bothered. But our admonishment, our counsel, our warning, our reasoning with one another must be because we want to be more what? Christ-like. More Christ-like. Psalms, songs of praise and worship. Why do we do that in the morning? To lead us to become more like Christ. Not to make sure we have an hour and a half service. That's not the goal. Why do we sing with gratitude, favor, kindness, learning to give ourselves away to God so that we can become more Christ-like? It's not just about singing and feeling good. It's deeper than that. Whatever you do. What does it mean when he says, whatever you do? What does whatever you do mean? Whatever you do. in the Greek. That's a joke. Y'all didn't get it. Whatever you do, if you're working, whatever you do, if you're playing, whatever you do in marriage, in parenting, when you usher, when you sing, whatever you do, whatever you do. You know, I was fortunate that brothers in my life told me, A.B., whatever you do, whatever you do. Why? Because now, A.B., you're an ambassador of Jesus. You're representing him. You are a Christian. So whatever you do, understand this, God's watching, and so are people. Whatever you do, A.B. So 2 months after I was a Christian, I became a Christian, I go to Chipola and Mariana, and I'm on the baseball scholarship. So I'm playing baseball, and do you know what I did? Everywhere I went, I said, whatever I do, I took ground balls to Jesus. It may sound corny, but that was my mindset. That kept me sane. It kept me spiritual. It kept me close to God. Whatever I did, I would take ground balls. If the coach got on the team, I would do it cheerfully. I didn't complain because whatever I did, I wanted to do it for Jesus. Whatever I did. Years later, when I was working as an early services intervention counselor in Miami, Florida, I dealt with abandoned and abused and neglected kids, and my goal was to reunify them with their parents. And I had a boss. She was a mean woman, and she didn't like men. And it was a hard 2 years. And every time I clocked in, whatever I did, she would sometimes make me go so far south, I thought I was in Cuba, to pick up a child, to do something that the other co-workers could do, but she wanted me to do it because she knew she wanted to get under my skin, and I knew that. And so I had to respond, whatever I did, whatever was done to me, I had to decide I'm going to be more like Christ. And it wasn't just at work or when I was taking ground balls. It was at my home. Whatever I did and wherever I was. You know, sometimes we can be so spiritual here. So spiritual here. But when we get home, the real truth comes out. But he says, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you say, your speech, how you express your thoughts, what you say. Honestly, there should be more apologizing at home than anywhere else because we tend to let it out, be ourselves. We should be going, is that Christ-like? Oh, no, you're right. I shouldn't have told you that. I shouldn't have said it that way. My bad. And because we're all a work in progress, right? In word or deed, your employment or your task, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whenever you hear in the name of, it means under the authority of, under the character of, under the fame of, or the reputation of. So I'm not doing something or saying something in my name. I did that from 1984 to 1966, 1984. But when I became a Christian, I changed names. It wasn't about me anymore. It was about the fame and the glory and the reputation of God. And some of us, brothers and sisters, need to get that back. We need to go, our life is not our own. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. So Paul's goal in preaching and teaching was to proclaim Jesus. His message was not greater than the Messiah. His message led you to the Messiah. The question I have for myself is, does mine? Does yours? Does our church, the 1200, lead us to the Messiah? So many people want to have a good message to stimulate their minds. But a good message should stimulate all of us, all a part of us, our minds, our hearts, our deeds, our actions. Does the message lead us to follow Christ? Does the message lead us to be transformed by Christ? And does the message lead us to joining him in his mission? If not, you better check the message. You better check the hearer of the message, because that was the purpose of the word. In Colossians 1, prior to him writing this, he said, we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his energy that works powerfully in me. Paul says that we proclaim Jesus. We preach, we celebrate, we laud, we declare, we openly and decisively announce Jesus. Can we get an amen on that? We also warn with Jesus in mind, with being Christ-like in mind. We warn, we counsel, we reason with Jesus in mind. And like he said later, he said, we teach and we direct, we instruct with Jesus in mind. Why? Why? So that everyone can be mature in Christ. Every man can be complete, can be full grown, Christ-like. Do you know the efforts it takes to feed a baby, change a baby, mature a baby, teach a baby, warn a baby? You know, my grandson is 8 months and we're doing all of that. And he's getting now no. He's getting no. He goes after my dog's toys like they're a juicy steak. And he crawls fast to go get them. And he grabs them, and that wouldn't be a problem. But guess what he tries to do after he grabs it? And we go, no, no Landry, no Landry, no Landry. And then now he's like, no Landry, he's like, he's learning. He's learning. Sometimes I feel like a baby with God, because I grab stuff and he goes, no, A-B. No, A-B. I mean, never stops. We may get older, but we're still children of God. We still have to decide to obey. But Paul says, we warn, we proclaim him, we warn, we teach everyone with all wisdom. We got to think so that we can present everyone mature in Christ. You know, what a goal that is, to be able to say at the 1200, we're teaching, we're proclaiming, we're warning, we're doing with all wisdom so that we can present every person perfect in Christ. But you can't do that from the pulpit. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have relationships with one another, so that we can help one another, train one another, so that we can be Christ-like. So when you hear of something or see something that is not Christ-like, kindly, lovingly remind your brother and sister, let's be Christ-like. Let's be Christ-like. Paul's goal was Jesus. He knew that the goal was different than the destination. The destination is heaven. The goal is Christ-like. And I pray that that will not only be our goal for 2020, that'll be the goal for the rest of our lives. And the church said, amen. Next week, we will discuss the goal of being Christ-like. The goal of being Christ-like. Let us go to our Father in prayer. God, we thank you so much for this end of 2019, and as we approach the beginning of 2020, we're thankful, we're excited, we're also doubtful, we have fears, we have insecurities, we have concerns, and Father, we also have vision for who we can become. And Father, we pray that individually we can make decisions to be more like Christ. And Father, we would be very intentional about repenting in the areas that are not like Christ. And Father, I pray that if we have those in this room that need to become Christians, that need to confess and repent and believe and get baptized, Father, that they would do it not for themselves, but they do it for you. They do it because you've given your life for them. And they would respond out of gratitude and love for you. Lord, help us to be the body of Christ by every member, every part deciding that, Father, above all else, we want to be Christ-like. And we want to love you and be faithful to you for the rest of our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.